I know. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, we're on. Hello. Welcome to the BizSpark Show. I'm your host, Douglas Kretz, and you're in for another 35 minutes of talking to the best founders, investors, and great people in the world who are working on apps or building things that help the technology industry. Today, I'm very happy to announce I'm talking to Janice Levenhagen-Seeley. That's a hyphenated name. We'll dig into that further. She runs a thing called Chick Tech, which is based out of Portland, Oregon, and she'll tell us all about that. Before we do talk to Janice, I've been teasing her about Janice, so her real name is Janice. I'd like to just tell you that if you're interested in building apps on the Windows platform or the Microsoft stack, you can check out microsoft.com/BizSpark, or you can just go to BizSpark.com, and you'll be able to get access to, once you've registered and been accepted into the program, about $15,000 in software development tools that help you build on the cloud today. So, Janice, welcome to the BizSpark Show. It's been a while since we met each other in Vancouver at the Grow Conference. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get into what you've been doing since that momentous meeting in Vancouver. So who is Janice Levenhagen-Seeley, exactly?
I run an organization called Chick Tech up in Portland, Oregon, and that's basically been my life for the last year and a half. It's hard for me to have another identity right now, but I'll try to dredge something up for you.
So this is a new thing you're doing. What is the thing exactly? So what is Chick Tech? What does it do? It's a nonprofit?
Yeah. So it's a nonprofit. Our goal is to get and keep girls and women in high tech. Our vision is to create a multi-generational community of girls and women helping each other to become technology creators.
Awesome. So the biggest question I have is, what's keeping those multi-generational women from getting into tech? Because I'm assuming that if you have to build a nonprofit for it, there's just not enough of them in there. Thank you for the direction from our producer, Corey. What's keeping them out of the industry? What's the biggest barrier, do you think? Or is there one?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I get asked that a lot, right? And it's hard because there's a lot less overt discrimination that goes on, and so it's so much harder to just point to one thing, right? Mm-hmm. I think that there's a lot of factors that go into it starting when they're really young, right? Mm-hmm. Especially when we focus a lot on high school girls right now, trying to get them excited about tech and get them to realize that creating technology is an option for them after they graduate from high school. And a couple of the different things that I see is that, one, high school girls often don't even know that creating technology is a career that one does.
Yeah.
Right? They've just never been exposed to that idea.
So wait, this doesn't actually happen in schools. You don't have, what about career day? Do you have career day when, I'm assuming, women engineers would come in and say, hey, you could build this great, I don't know, digital computing platform, or you could build this great Intel chip or something like that. I mean, do you just don't see that kind of thing in the school system?
I would assume it happens. Yeah. I don't personally see it because I'm not there, obviously. And I know that there are programs that focus on that.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure that just somebody going in and talking to, you know, about something when, you know, kids are in a school where they're talked at, fairly regularly for 12, 13 years,
sure.
Whether that really sinks in. Mm-hmm. And so what we focus on specifically is doing a lot of hands-on stuff, mostly because I get bored really easily.
Yeah.
And so somebody talking at me while I'm in a crowd isn't interactive enough to keep my engagement. And
right.
So when we do our stuff, we make sure that it's all project-based and they're actually doing something.
Yeah.
Right. And that actually gets it across to them that this is actually fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you know, maybe this can be a career as opposed to just somebody talking about their career.
So what do you think actually spawns this idea that I could make a career out of something? Because I know that when I was in high school and even when I was in college, I had these sort of lofty dreams that I would be a fireman. No, I actually didn't. I thought I would be like an ambassador, or I would work in politics or something like that. I didn't even really think about media, though I liked watching television and stuff like that. It wasn't until I actually met somebody who was doing that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That it actually clicked to me and said, oh, I could actually do this because, you know, they're really good at what they do. I could see myself doing that same thing. Is it more than just the hands-on thing? Are you introducing people to a kind of like mentorship program with this? I mean, will female engineers be able, or female tech aficionados, mm-hmm. who might not even see a career track, will they be able to actually meet younger or older people who can actually guide them into, I don't know, building their first business or building their first app or stuff like that?
Yeah, so With our high school program, our goal is to have it be year-long and have a mentorship component. We didn't do that this last year. We just had our big high school event the end of January at Portland State University, and we worked on doing follow-up events. So we did like a career and resume day where they came back and they worked on their resume and created a LinkedIn profile, and we talked to them about careers. Mm-hmm. And then the goal had been to get this mentorship program up and have these mentors that would help them learn about careers and help get them to different events and get involved in their programs, and we may have bitten off a little more than we could
maybe
chew that
down. Usually that happens when you're starting something new and you get excited about it.
Exactly.
I don't want to make you a heretic, but I will. What's wrong with the school program? Like, what's wrong with school? I mean, it's just, presumably school would be the place where these young women would see science or tech or math as a really cool thing. And they would just jump on it, right? They would just say, oh, yeah, that's cool. I'm totally into that. I mean, I meet very few young women. I mean, no young women in tech usually. But, I mean, I see very few actually coming to hackathons or participating in these sort of after-school events that are more institutionalized. Can you tell me something about, I mean, you one of your children is actually homeschooled, right? You've told me this earlier. Is there something about school that you think just needs to be injected into it that would actually help this kind of interest level?
So I think there's a couple different things.
Without branding yourself as like, or completely ostracizing yourself from the community, if
right.
you can. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll try.
Okay.
So I think there's a lot of things that are good about schools. I mean, I think that school teachers specifically are really passionate about what they do.
Yeah.
And I think that the system just isn't conducive to creating creative problem solvers.
Right.
Right. I mean, kids are put into a cohort based on age and given very little differentiation for 13 years.
Yeah.
Right. They're not really allowed to explore what they're actually interested in. They're not able to change learning styles.
Yeah.
Based on how best they
learn.
Oh,
yeah, sure.
And that was one of the reasons that I took my son out. So he's 13 now, mm-hmm. and he's going into eighth grade, and he started homeschooling in sixth grade.
Okay.
And he's had ADD, and, you know, I don't know that he's ever actually written an essay the entire time that he was in public school, because there were just always so many kids.
Yeah.
And he...
And not enough time to spend with him to make sure
exactly,
he got through that
exactly.
pretty
it
rigorous process to write
teachers
some. Yeah.
About... You know, and so that's one of the reasons, and just not being able to ever solve problems on their own or really explore what they're interested in.
Well, allow me to jump in and say it, because I used to be a teacher, and I think, you know, there's really, it's not the fault of the teachers, I think. I mean, if you think about it, most curriculum is started and formulated by a school board. It's it's also done by politicians and people outside of the actual day-to-day teaching.
Yeah.
So it's really of no fault to the teachers. The other thing is that during a programatized school day, there is very little of this hands-on time, unless you're using something like blended learning or something like that. It seems really interesting to me, and I see so much more of this stuff growing, whether it's like Khan Academy or Udemy or things that are on different platforms, literally on the web, that are sort of acting as adjuncts to or parallels to formalized schooling. To see community groups like this, these sort of nonprofit focused groups, kind of spawning up as like little spores off of the backs of education, right? And they're producing these wonderful things, right? It's producing a kind of new brand for education. If someone wanted to engage with you as a partner, what do they have to be prepared to bring to the table? You know, because I'm assuming you're going to want to work with schools, but you're also going to want to work with big companies like Microsoft or big companies like, you know, fill in the blank. What are you looking for from them?
So it depends. It depends on what kind of partner they are. Like, so this week I'm here in San Francisco meeting with people in hopes that we can find community partners, university partners, and sponsors so that we can actually bring Chick Tech High School to the Bay Area.
So what do you mean by that? Because it's almost like you want to create an entire school for this, or you want this to be the name of the program?
That's just the name of the program.
Okay,
we have two tracks, Chick Tech High School and Chick Tech Career.
Got it.
With universities, we have to have a university in the area that has EECS program, and that's where we hold our big two-day event to try and get the girls into an engineering building and help them know where the bathroom is, help them basically to feel like that building is their own.
Is it true of some bill? I read a columnist who wrote this as a woman. She was on the board of directors for the NYSE, the New York Stock Exchange. I think she recently passed away. and God, it's such a horrible male-centric thing to have forgotten her name. But the one thing that I remember she, in her obituary, was something about how when she joined the board of directors, which took her, I think, must have taken her like 2 decades to do so. Mm-hmm. When she got to the NYSE offices, there was no actual female bathroom on the floor with the rest of the boards of directors. Mm-hmm. Is it kind of like that still in some engineering departments where it's like, I hope that it's not true that there are just male-only bathrooms in right. these companies, no?
I don't think that's the case anymore. Anywhere.
I think there are laws against that now.
Yeah, I think that makes people upset these okay. days. So I have not been in a lot of engineering schools, but I know that the ones that I have been in, there have been women's bathrooms.
That's good.
Quite handy.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what you're doing is you're introducing these young women to it to not only, I guess, spark the interest of the young women, but I would assume also to sort of maybe cultivate a different sort of more genteel behavior in the male engineers who are actually sort of dominating this industry, right? Like, isn't it? It sounds to me that you're also building this sort of cultural exchange program, which is like, hey, here's a female engineer, let's make her welcome, and this is how you do that, right? This is how you bring her into these wonderful programs that you all have. Yeah. I would assume. Do you think is that something that you're trying to do?
Yeah, I mean, that's not something that we've really focused on a lot. I mean,
okay.
like when we did our thing at Portland State, we basically took over the entire building because it was 100 high school girls and like 40 volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
So there, when you see that many you know, women in a building that does not see very many women, I
yeah.
think that they kind of scattered. And,
right.
You know.
It's like being at a Styx concert and only not seeing any line for the women's bathroom. I don't know if you've ever been to a you probably haven't. I think the only men go there. So Sumant Dubé, who's in the audience, says, why did you choose BizSpark and how do they benefit from the BizSpark program? You're actually just looking into the BizSpark program. You actually haven't joined yet. But
right.
So we'll just actually disregard that question. I want to actually get back into Janice, right? So what is your story? Like, why have you had this experience? Why have you wanted to start Chick Tech? Like, what happened in your early years of development? I mean, and
yeah.
in your early workplace experiences? Like, I'd love for you to relate your story. What was it like being a woman in your field?
Yeah.
And why did you choose to do this? So take us back to your real story. Sorry. It's
as
my job to talk,
so I
talk a lot.
Yeah,
yes.
yeah.
Go ahead.
My undergrad's actually computer engineering. As many of those people listening probably know, computer science has very low women, but anything to do with hardware is even much lower than that. I think
okay.
when I graduated in 2006, we were looking at 8% in electrical and computer engineering, and I think around 16% or so, 16-17% in computer science.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not something that women usually go into.
Focus on them, yes. Yeah, you have to be loud. You have a soft voice, so you
yeah,
have to kind of
I know.
Bring in the audience. Sorry. Go ahead.
So
you chose the hardware route, is what you did, or
well,
or you're just making that observation?
So when I chose it, I had no idea. Right?
Okay.
I had no idea that women didn't usually go into engineering. I didn't know enough about the field at all to have any idea.
Yeah.
I didn't know what programming was when I started. I pretty much just chose it out of a hat, right? And that's one of the reasons when we look at doing Chick Tech High School, we do nominations from teachers to try and get those girls who've never heard of
wow.
technology careers.
So wait, what was that decision like? So play that movie for me in your head, in my head. Like, what, you really just sort of randomly chose that field? So what was compelling about it? Why would you go that way if you didn't even have much exposure to it?
So I was really, really good at math when okay. I was in high school, right? I got all the awards, et cetera. And my grandma actually taught special ed at the time, and she said, you know, you're really great at math. You should consider engineering. And I was like, sure, why not?
You know? Yeah.
So basically, the hat that I picked my major out of contained aeronautical engineering, computer engineering, and international business. So, yeah, it
okay.
was slightly diverse, but. Yeah.
And so what was pulling you towards the choice that you made?
I don't remember.
Really?
I think I read like this 2-paragraph description.
In a course book or something? Or
they, you know,
yeah, they send
high
you these stuff.
Have
yeah.
these things.
Guidance counselors.
You know, they
I
have
had
like
one
the
of
binder of,
yeah.
of majors that you can read.
Yeah. I had one. She wasn't very good. She told me not to apply to the schools that I applied to because I guess she was afraid I'd get into them. I don't know. I mean, but yeah.
That would be upsetting.
So you literally, yeah. you sort of made a choice out of a hat. So what
yeah.
happens when you show up to school the first day and you start getting into this program. What happens to Janice over the course of your education?
So when I started, like I said, I had no idea what programming was. I didn't know why you would want to learn it. I didn't know what it was used mm-hmm. for. And one of my first classes, after I graduated from high school, I went directly to Oregon State into the engineering department that summer. Mm-hmm. And so I was in summer courses, and I did C programming as one of them. Mm-hmm. And it was really difficult because a lot of the people who were there knew a lot more about programming. They had been doing it more. This was just a required course they had to take, so they were taking it.
Wow.
And that was really my first introduction to programming. And a lot of times they don't really start you off, you know, with the basics. They just jump right in.
Yeah.
Right. And so
you have no framework or no sort of depth of perception,
exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's really difficult for a lot of young women when they're first starting in engineering or computer science, is they don't have that framework. They aren't usually in the classes in high school because they don't, they're not encouraged to take them.
So what happened? Did you fail the course?
No, I would never fail a course.
Oh,
that's
of course
ridiculous.
Not, because you're great at math.
Yeah,
right.
Because I'm awesome.
Okay. So what happened? Like did you come up with an idea immediately when that happened that you really wanted to find, I don't know, did you create some kind of community group where other people could get together and actually hack together a solution to this sort of being out lost in the sea? Get it? Sea?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Anyway, uh-huh. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry. Kenny's dying over there. He likes puns. So we'll try to throw in a few more puns later. Go ahead.
So I didn't. So something that's a little bit different about me is I actually had my son when I was 16.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
So I was a teen parent. I had him towards the end of my junior year. And so when I moved out and immediately went to college, it was with a baby.
Mm.
And I still did some extracurricular things. I was the vice president of the French club, oddly enough.
All right.
Oh, I know. Clearly relevant to computer engineering.
Yeah.
And I did not.
So there was some struggle going on there.
Yeah.
I mean, but you still made it through.
It was pretty exhausting.
You didn't drop out, though.
No.
You got your degree.
Yeah.
Right. And did you get a job in the field when you actually graduated?
No. So I did I did a couple internships at HP. I did an internship at Tektronix, Intel, something at Qualcomm.
Mm-hmm.
But it never felt right. Right. Mm. I mean, there were a lot of issues that I ran into at different companies that made me really feel really stressed out about whether I belonged or not, whether I was good at what I was doing. I mean, when I did my courses, you know, the grades said I was good at what I was doing. The teachers said I was good at what I was doing.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you're familiar with the imposter syndrome.
Yeah, you feel like you really don't belong here, right?
Yeah.
That you're set up to fail,
yeah.
Right?
And
they're
going
to find out that you're a hack.
Exactly, yeah. And so I had that really badly, especially when it came to interviews. I could logically say that I was good at what I was doing, but I would freak out.
Right.
Anytime anybody would ask me something in an interview, I would freeze.
Yeah.
You know, and it had nothing to do with my abilities. It had nothing to do with, you know, being able to actually solve anything.
Yeah.
It was just the fear that, you know, they're right there. They're trying to find me out. That is their entire reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, at least that's how it felt, right? I mean,
and
obviously,
so you're kind of almost like emotionally terrorized going into an interview because you're thinking,
there's no way you can think during that, right?
Yeah.
You
know? Next question is going to completely reveal me for who I really am, which
exactly.
is Janice. But still, like, you didn't feel like, I'm assuming the big pressure was you didn't feel like who you were fit into that slot, so to speak. It didn't fit into that. You weren't the right widget for that.
Yeah, and at that
machine,
time I didn't know, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't really familiar with these things. You know, I was studying women in engineering, you know, reading articles and everything, but it wasn't like now, right?
Yeah.
Where I've been, you know, doing a lot of research for a year and a half and really know the space. It was just, you know, I felt like I wasn't good enough and everybody was better and I was going to fail, and I really hate failing.
Yeah. So you completely steered away from it then?
Yeah.
So what did you end up doing?
I avoided applying for jobs really well.
Probably not a smart but
it
is
harder to get one when you don't apply.
Yes.
I've heard. Yeah.
Yes.
So I did end up applying. I interviewed at a couple different companies. I my partner at the time and I decided to have a second child, mm-hmm. and I ran into pregnancy discrimination, which
really?
Some people don't realize is illegal. I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
Kind of lame.
So it was then difficult to get a job because people realized you were pregnant.
Exactly.
Or you had to tell, or you told them that you were pregnant, right?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
interesting. So how many years has it been then? I mean, so how many years ago was this? So where are we in the present day then? When we're going
so my daughter was born in 2007. So
right.
that was the end of 2006.
6 years ago.
Beginning in 2007.
Okay.
So.
And so did you end up finally getting a job in tech or in the engineering field?
No.
Really?
I ended up, I had an offer from a company, and right after they found out that I was pregnant, they suddenly had to, they revoked the offer, and I had been yeah. waiting for 4 months
wow.
for them.
So
and
that might be another thing, because I don't know exactly, because I'm not actually in the engineering field. It's kind of hard anyway to get a job in engineering because there are so many really brilliant people who are trying to get into that field, right? Depending on, I guess, where you...
Yeah, it depends. I mean, it depends on what kind, right?
Okay.
So...
Wow, this is a really horrible story, actually. I'm feeling sad. I'm starting to feel sad. So this is where, I guess, Chick Tech was born, out of this sort of struggle.
Yeah, so I actually ended up, instead of... I did an internship at Intel, and then I ended up getting my MBA. We're actually steered clear of technology stuff, and I focused on sustainability, and I specifically solar panels and mm-hmm. renewable energy.
Yeah.
And after I graduated, I worked for a company, and that was not a good experience
yeah.
either.
Okay.
And so then I actually ended up quitting and starting my own business consulting company.
Oh, cool.
And I worked with really small businesses. And then about 9 months after that, everything comes in 9 months. It's kind of weird.
It's weird.
Yeah,
it's a gestation period,
yeah,
I think.
Apparently.
Go ahead.
It's how long I takes
that,
for me to come up with a
That was almost
good
a pun,
idea,
by the way. Apparently. That was for Kenny. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so I ended up going to this, volunteering at this other program that was for getting kids excited about engineering. And I was basically inspired by what she was trying to do and mm-hmm. decided to start Chick Tech, which was focusing on hands-on stuff for specifically women and girls.
Hmm. Which brings up a good question. AJ Smith asks, you know, C+, C# is hard for beginners. What do you recommend? What is it? He said, what do you recommend you actually young girls actually learn as a kind of a better boost up into the field? Are you going to be suggesting any kind of programming languages for them in this group, in this foundation that you're doing? Or based on your own experience,
yeah.
would you have started with a different programming language? Do you think the programming
know.
Language you started kind of soured you anyway because it was just so
you
hard?
Know,
or
So one of the things that Danielle Forsyth, who runs a Thetis Corporation up in Portland, she told me something that I thought was really, really interesting and insightful.
Yeah.
So she said that she started programming in 1978. And back then it was a lot about solving problems.
Mm-hmm.
You were using the technology to solve problems. And she said that as tools were created, it became more about using tools. And she believes that men are more tool users in general, obviously, and women are like to solve problems.
Yeah.
And she felt that switch, drifting away and becoming more about using tools, is a lot of what drove women to start not being as interested. And
yeah.
even when you look at it now, right, it's about the tools. You look at a job post and it's like, we're looking for a Java person.
Yeah.
We're looking for a C++ person or whatever it
yeah.
might be. And
I know
personally that's not what interests me, right? I look at those and I'm like, why would I care, right? I want to know what I'm solving. Who am I helping? How am I helping?
Interesting.
And so when we do it, I mean, we focus on projects. So we say, you know, it's just a tool, right? Java's just a tool. Whatever it is just
it's not about mastering that tool set. It's about
right.
using the right tool for the job
exactly.
and solving a problem.
And once you know yeah. a few programming languages, really, how hard is it to pick up another one?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's really not difficult. And when companies are only looking at those types of skills, I think that they're missing people who are really great at problem solving or who are really great learners.
So you're saying basically that if a big company or a small company startup wanted to hire a really, you know, hot female engineer who's really good at what she does. I don't mean hot and attractively. I was going to say hot shit, but that's probably, you know, I shouldn't say that. Someone who's technically very gifted, do you think that they should be posting a different kind of ad entirely and not focusing so much on the tools?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that one of the issues that the job industry in general, right, all of the industries, is that they're hiring skills and not people.
Yeah.
And so they're not able to look at all of the talents that a person has because they have figured out these little tiny slots that people will plug a little tiny part of them into, you know, skill-wise, and the rest of them is left out in the cold. And that's one of the reasons that I love running my own company, right? Because I can use all of my talents.
Right.
And so I think that that's actually something that needs to change if people want to get fully engaged employees and drastically increase their productivity.
Right.
And I think the tech industry is definitely one of those that is having that issue, right?
Yeah.
They're not looking for people. They're looking for somebody that can do this programming language for this little tiny piece.
You may be right. I mean, my experience in getting this job at Microsoft is like when I went through the series of interviews that went on for this job, it was very clear to me that this was a very different kind of interview. You know, it wasn't about all of the things that I was able to do, like what skills I eventually had or apparently had in terms of like the granular ones. It was more about how could we help each other? Like, what are you looking for? What sort of needs do you have? And it was very people focused.
Nice.
I think it's interesting, you know, if anyone's watching out there, we have an audience watching this, if you have an agreement or disagreement with Janice or myself about this, we'd love to hear your point of view. AJ, that was a great question because it really opened up this whole thing that I hadn't thought of before, but I had kind of sensed, which is when you go to these hackathons, nobody focuses on people. It's always about this very narrow idea, and it's all about we're looking for, it's the same as a job ad. We're looking for someone who knows, you know, Node.js, or we're looking for someone who knows, you know, how to build such and such and such. Let me ask you, like, what do you think that the company or the market environment would be like if suddenly Microsoft or anybody, any huge company or any small company, decided that we're going to focus more on the soft skills, so to speak, like the personalities and the people? Would the products be different? Do you think the market itself would look different?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't know of any companies that are doing it this way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to envision what it would actually look like.
Yeah.
But I think that it would be a lot less rigid, a lot less hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the products would be much better because you'd be pulling a lot of different kinds of people.
Yeah.
With a lot of different skill sets and a lot of different experiences.
Yeah.
And pulling all of those in to creating a product that is actually better for everybody.
What do you think, what does success look like for Chick Tech? I mean, 18 months down the road, how will you know you've actually done something? And then 10 years down the road, how will you know that you've done something positive?
I mean, one of our big goals is to find especially more at-risk girls who've never created technology before and get them excited about creating it and making them realize that they can. So success for us would be to be able to run all these different workshops throughout the U.S. and have those girls start to really show an interest in going to college for an ECS type degree and actually go and do it, or at least be more knowledgeable that those choices are there. I mean, even if they didn't do it and they decided, you know, that's really cool, I'm capable of doing that, but you know, my skills are more in the languages. You know, I love learning different, you know, written and oral languages and I'd rather do that. If she has children and she has a daughter or a son, even, she's going to be able to pass on the idea that women can do tech.
Sure.
And if we don't, you know, so even if we only have a certain percentage, I'm sure that the percentage that we got will be better than the general population.
Yeah.
But even the others that choose to not go in will have that less biased view.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really important.
And maybe you could actually do things like go to schools and do field trips at hackathons and stuff. I mean, I've been to a few hackathons where I've started to see young girls showing up. I mean, there was a 9-year-old girl at Disrupt Hackathon the past week and a half, right, at the one in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
I know at South by Southwest, there was a young girl, I think she was 9 or 12, who won a hackathon at South by Southwest. I mean, I know her mother's name is Denise Walker, but she's from Texas, the Austin area, showed up, put put together something and actually built a product that works out and is very functioning. Is there a sense that maybe you'd have to develop your own hackathons, maybe just sort of enlist and make kind of a females only space for a while to kind of, I guess, to create the kind of worldview that, you know, we belong here, we belong doing this thing? I mean, there's a lot of disagreement about whether this bias actually exists.
Were you following our events recently? Is that
no.
Are you, okay. So
I
you're
wasn't
not asking
following
a leading question?
I'm not asking a leading question. I don't.
So we did actually do something hackathon-like this last Saturday, actually 2 days ago.
Cool.
That was for women only.
Okay. And what happened? They built a ton of products, I'm assuming?
So one of the things that I focused on with it, so we didn't call it a hackathon because a lot of women that I've talked to have said that the word just really turns them off, right? It sounds competitive. It sounds masculine. It's just not a space that they're interested in being. Mm-hmm. And so what we did was we actually called it, we made up our own name, and we called it Problem Storming for Nonprofits. Mm-hmm. And we brought in five or six different nonprofits with a specific issue that they were having a hard time solving. And we specifically focused on nonprofits that were focusing on women and girls.
Yeah.
And we asked for all different backgrounds. So we had some technical people there. We had some marketing and business people there. We had design people. We had people with a psychology background, education background. And they all created these teams to actually work on whatever issue that the particular nonprofit had and help them create that so they could better serve their market. Mm. And I think it was successful. From what I heard, based on the people who came up and talked to me afterwards or during, they said they had a lot of fun. They felt more confident in what they were, what they had been able to create in their skills because they were actually able to create that. And it seemed like they felt like they belonged.
Yeah. So if you're taking notes out there, something for people to be mindful of is maybe calling it something other than a hackathon is important, and focusing more on problem solving is really a way to attract the other people out there in the industry into these kind of programs.
Well, and it was also giving back, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they were giving back to these nonprofits that had missions that they could really relate to.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I think that was really important. There also wasn't a competition piece.
Mm-hmm.
It was, we're all here to help improve the world. And why would we need to compete on that?
And was there feedback from the audience as well? I mean, were they able to sort of jump in and say, oh, I would have done this, or you might try this? Or was maybe their collaboration afterwards, once they made all their things, to put all their things together?
Oh, for the presentation?
Yeah, for the problem storming.
No, there wasn't as much. We had a smaller group. We had 20 or so people show up, and then so basically people just listened to what it was, and it was only a day, so they weren't able to really get full solutions, but they put up a WordPress site for a women's shelter who had a brochure type website for the last 8 years that they couldn't even get into and change. They didn't know how to change it.
Oh, I got
it. So little things like that, right, where
it
makes a huge difference for them, but it really didn't take these women very long.
It's awesome. Well, look, if people want to get in touch with you, it's been a pleasure having you here. You came all the way from Portland just to see us here at the Microsoft Bizport.
I'll just head right back. Yeah.
And how would they get in touch with you, and where, you know, what kinds of people are you looking to get in touch with right now?
Here or in general?
Anywhere. If they want to help Chick Tech, they go to chicktech.org and Chick Tech Org on Twitter at Chick Tech Org.
Yep.
And what kinds of people are you wanting to meet?
So we take lots of different types of
all
help.
Comers.
Yes, men and women.
Okay.
We're not picky that way.
Okay. You're not discriminatory.
No.
Okay.
No.
Got it. Okay.
And so we're looking for people in the areas that we're currently serving. We're looking to move down here to because we feel like our Chick Tech High School program is really, really successful, and we'd love to be able to share it. We're looking for community partners. I'm actually here in San Francisco all week looking for those potential partners, university partners, potential sponsors who might be interested in hosting events or helping put on events in general for next school year. And of course, people in Portland, if they might be listening, we'd love to have your help. And if you're interested anywhere else in the U.S. in starting a Chick Tech High School program where you're at, please let us know.
Well, you have our support, at least emotionally so far. So Janice is here for the rest of the week. You've heard it here first. At Chick Tech Org on Twitter if you want to reach out to her, and just go visit your website at chicktech.org. Janice, it's a pleasure to see you again. Thank you for making the long flight down here from Portland, and I hope to see you have a lot of success in this area.
Thanks.
All right. You're welcome.